Circulations of interest, anyone? Okay, no. Okay, we've got the presentation now for NI Water. We've got Ronan Larkin, Dipna Gallagher, Angela Hapenny, Lisa Hughes and Keith Henderson. And what we'll probably do is if we want to do a breakdown, and maybe we'll do it in DEA coverage. Does that suit everybody? Yep, yeah? Okay.
Good evening, Councillor and Councillors, and we'll start by saying thank you very much again for inviting us down here to your meeting this evening to talk to you about Nurrien Mooran Down District Council and where you feature in our plans and our operations currently and how we're doing with some of that. We'll cover a number of things this evening. Gillian, I know, has introduced the team, but just to my right here, we have Lisa Hughes from our engineering team, and Angela Hapenny from the scientific and the environmental side of our business. And I suppose there's a lot of knowledge here on this side of the table. Then we have some of the rest of the team that's as well here this evening. So we have Graham, our comms, one of our communications people, Keith Henderson from our wastewater side of the business, and then Dimna Gallagher, who's our head of safety and asset management at Northern Ireland Water. I suppose just, again, moving the slides, people should have a copy of the presentation here with them. So, Nurrien Mooran Down District Council, one of the new super councils, you know, and this just is a map then showing the area. And there's quite a widespread area from Dunpatrick here all the way down through then to Newry and the Fuse and so on there across the piece. So, quite a big spread. Coastline as well, and quite a number of assets in the area. And we'll talk a bit about some of the detail as we go through this evening's presentation. We'll try and theme and maybe pick up any questions you have around what we see as our customer promises. So the things that we have undertaken to do for and on behalf of customers. And we've laid these out on the slide here, and I'll maybe just pick up on a number of these. Some of them can be quite obvious. So we provide you with clean, safe water to drink. But equally, I'm thinking some of the other things. Climate change is an important feature for you and for us as well here, and we adapt to deal with the effects of climate change. So we're constantly able to think forward about what might be the challenges we face into the future. Protecting and enhancing the environment is a big piece of what we seek to do. And when we get it wrong, how do we continue to make amends and learn from that? We provide excellent service by having the right people doing the right thing for you. And again, we have people that see our vans and our people out and about in the district. And again, a number of your constituents will be employees of Northern Ireland Water out on the ground every day working to do the various things to do. Again, we're constantly set the challenge of providing value for money. So again, one of our promises, we seek to give you value for money. And again, how do we get more for customers out of the budgets and out of the resources that we have to operate as an organisation? So that's just a sense of those promises that are written up within our customer strategy, and it's our aim to continue to develop those various themes and those customer promises as we go. One of the questions that you asked us last time, I've no doubt you'll be thinking about this time, is, well, where are we investing? Where are we investing money across the capital plan and so on, and then where does that break down within your own area? So what we've got to do here is just set out a table that shows our back to our price control 13, which was a 2-year price control, through to where we are this year 16-17. So for the 2-year price control PC13, we invested just under £228 million on capital schemes across Northern Ireland, and £36 million of that, just over £36 million, was the investment that would have been in the Nurrien Mooran Down district. If you go up to 16-17 today, you can see that this year we have a plan of £101 million, just under £102 million, and we're £13.5 million of that will be invested in the Nurrien and Mooran Down district area. So overall, there, if you look at the piece, the area has been benefiting from about 16% of all of our capital spend, and it probably compares favourably with the district's just under 10%, we believe, share of Northern Ireland's population. So there's quite a good like-for-like proportion. You're probably punching above your weight in terms of investment per head of population within the region. So there's just that table just sets out some of that detail for us. In terms of how that breaks down, what are the schemes? So again, we'll take a look at some of the things we're doing here. You can see in the list. So some of the things that we have in construction, or perhaps just recently complete. Newcastle Wastewater Treatment Works itself and some of the associated works around that. Camlock impounding reservoir dam, the piece of work that's going on up at Camlock. And again, we pick that up in the slides, we'll go through later on. But that's probably an example, I think, close to being a very strong example of, I think, really good work between the District Council and between us as a water utility and how we've come together to support that particular scheme and all that it means to the area there. The Price Control 15, PT15's Water Mains Rehabilitation Programme. So there's quite a bit of work going on there in Fofany and in North Lisburn South. So again, this is just where we're going back in and we're repairing, making better improvements to the water main network. So you're getting perhaps better water pressure, less leakage, improved quality of water going through to our water main. And that's a programme that will constantly go. We'll constantly be investing in water mains across Northern Ireland. I think we have something like 22,500 kilometres of water main across the province. So if you think about continually repairing and improving and maintaining that 22,500 kilometres, you'll constantly see us out and about on the road. That's a piece of our maintenance programme that will constantly be competing, and we'll be pushing hard to our funders and central government for money to make sure that network is kept up to speed and is maintained as it should be. Grange Road to Kiel is another scheme there, and out of sewer flooding and a feasibility study scheme associated with that, so that's down in Kiel. And you can see there as well then the Ballydigan and Newry main link reinforcement. So quite a big scheme that I think brought a decent resilience perhaps and decent water mains facilitation to the Newry area. Some of the projects that we'll be starting, again there at New Point down there at the pumping station down at Newry, just down there towards the Green Bank. There's an upgrade that's recently been signed off that wastewater pumping station there. I think perhaps in the order of £1.5 to £3 million spent across that piece. That'll be upgrading the screening and the pumping functionality around the piece. There's the Newry Depot itself. The premises is going through an upgrade there at the moment. So again, an investment in the area, an investment in facilities in the area out of Carnbane at the Northern Ireland Water Office out there. Carron Hill Cross McLean Phase 2. Is the piece we're working on at that, and then Newry West Service Reservoir Rehabilitation. Again, you can see that again down here towards this end of the province in Dundrum, further investment in the wastewater treatment works, and there's a piece there around Carniford Lock Sustainable Water Quality Improvement Project. So some work going on there, and some pending work on there as well, with work that we're looking across with perhaps the potential for some backing from Europe as well on that piece. The Silent Valley, which is, you know, I suppose, is a key amenity here in the District Council area, and an area that we have the responsibility to operate and to make sure we keep in good nick, and to operate on behalf of the public as an amenity area. So again, we're undertaking a review of the recreational facilities down there and seeing what further additions can be put in place there to make that a continued vibrant facility for visitors from the area and further beyond to visit. Again, we get feedback from visitors. It's a very popular destination, and again, it's something that we want to continue to be able to show, almost as a showpiece, I suppose, for Northern Ireland, not just for Northern Ireland Water, but certainly for the area here. And then you can see the Drummer Road there, water treatment works, clear water tank, so an investment there around some capacity and resilience and security of supply. And then Drum Lane Road in Newry, the Newry Storm and Fire Sewers. And I think some of the councils I can see around the table have raised that with us in the past. So again, that's one of the schemes that we'll be picking up and that are about to start. In terms of the efficiency and the value for money, so thinking about giving customers, you know, citizens and businesses and everybody in Northern Ireland who uses the service that we operate, value for money. We're quite hard measured on this. We get measured independently by the utility regulator. We're benchmarked against the English and Welsh and the Scottish water companies. And those companies have been pushing on this for maybe the last 25, 27 years. We started to measure this back in 2007. And as you can see from the graphs maybe here, if we look at this gap to the English and Welsh Frontier company, that's the leading company in terms of efficiency for water and wastewater, When we started off back in 2007-08, there was a gap of just under 50%. So Northern Ireland water back then was 50% less efficient than that notional frontier company in England and Wales. We've now, the last time this was measured back in 2014-15, there'll be further measures ongoing. That gap will close to just between 12 and 13%. So it's represented on the graph here at 13%. So a significant closure of that gap, which really means that pound for pound, the organisation is becoming a much more efficient organisation, more productive. And we're running, as a headline figure, Northern Ireland Water is being ran today with a bigger customer base, a bigger asset base, and higher levels of water quality and environmental compliance targets to hit. We're running it for probably like £65 million a year less. So quite often we're asked and tested and challenged, and are you delivering more for what you're doing? And the answer is we would say yes, we are. We're delivering more service, more improvements to the water quality here in Northern Ireland and the environmental compliance, and we're delivering that for significantly less money each year. And then on the service improvement piece, this graph here shows it's a measure that's used by the regulators, a basket of measures, the overall performance assessment. And we've listed there on the right-hand side of the chart the different things that are included within that basket of measures from our regulator. And again, back at the beginning in 2007, and if we had a score there that was sitting at 98 on this basket of measures, and as we headed out of 14-15, you could see us there heading just above, starting to get above the 200 mark, so doubling the OPA score across that period of time. And again, we have plans to continue to improve that score, that composite score going forward. So we're going to pick up on maybe thinking about when we seek to protect your environment, and as I said before, sometimes we don't always get that right. So the most high profile incident of that basically was, again, not far from the area here we're in tonight, down at Annesborough, just outside Castlewellan, and we had an issue there. So what you can see there is, we reacted immediately to reports of a pollution incident at the Ballybannon River at about 6:30 on a Saturday evening. The root cause was an accidental discharge of a chemical called polyelectrolyte sludge thickener as a result of a fracture, a pipe that fractured on a particular tank we had, and we didn't have sufficient or adequate bonding in around that tank. The repair and cleanup immediately was undertaken in liaison with the people who are, we would say, who know the river, are in charge of the river and who understand the river. There's ongoing liaison between our own teams and the Northern Ireland Environment Agency and the Inland Fisheries Agency, and we're working closely with those people who use the river, mostly the local anglers who use the river there. And it was our aim, in conjunction with them and seeking their input, is around the recovery of the health of that river. So how do we get that river back to good health before we had the spill? The fractured pipe has been replaced. We have put new bonding protection in and around the tank, and we continue to maintain a proactive liaison with local anglers and inland fisheries long after the incident happened. The incident happened a few weeks back now, but we want to continue that across the next 12 months and possibly beyond, just to make sure that we're working with the people who know the river and use the river and the right agencies, that we'll continue to build back up the health of this river. The thinking then ahead, outside of the Annesborough asset itself, so at our other wastewater facilities, We'll be checking, and we started to undertake a check there of the polyelectrolyte dosing pipe arrangements and replacing any fittings as we deem appropriate. So we'll learn from the incident, and once the incident occurred at Annesborough, we'll be looking to see, can we prevent a similar type thing happening at any of the other assets that we operate in the same way? So that includes looking at how we store and then how we protect around the bonding around any particular tank as well. So no doubt that's something we'll come back to in terms of any questions over the evening and so on, but it's something I wanted to pick up with you at the session this evening. In terms of then looking ahead, we do operate an environmental management system. We're externally accredited around that as well, and we've used that to minimise the risk of chemical discharge. Probably to put this in some sort of context as well, I think, so it's never to excuse it, but maybe to have to give it a context. We manage and we maintain over 1,000 wastewater treatment works, as well as 1,200 pumping stations and 15,000 kilometres of sewer. So sometimes we're going to get a discharge or a burst or a spill or an overrun of something, and our role, I suppose, is really to make sure that when it happens, we are reacting quickly to it. We're getting out there on the ground with expertise, and we're making sure we're on top of it. a bigger part of our role is to prevent, but in the case where we can't, we want to be out there and on top of things. We also collect and treat 1.3 billion litres of wastewater every year. And our role is to take that, collect it, and return it safely to the environment when we've cleaned it into 2,500 waterways here across the province. So we treat every pollution incident with huge seriousness. And, you know, there is a regret when we get it wrong. And I know that our staff and the guys on the ground, they're concerned when these things don't happen the way they would like them to. So the distress that we would cause the local communities, and particularly those people using the river, that's a matter of regret for us. It's something we want to continue to work harder to hold and to protect, and to get back right with the community as well. I have to say, and you know, because quite often meetings like this, we might be asked, well, can you guarantee this won't happen again? And if I was to say yes, I can guarantee it, I would be doing you a disservice. I wouldn't be being honest. And we won't do that. We can't guarantee, it's impossible to guarantee zero discharge across the entirety of our state, across Northern Ireland. But we do work closely with the regulator and the Environment Agency and the other necessary industries to make sure that we're monitoring any kind of discharges, and we're constantly seeking ways to prevent and improve what we do in connection with anything like that. Now, we will continue to play a strong and a full role with the local stakeholders here in the district area and any statutory agencies to mitigate and to address the short-term effect, and to think about how the key thing now is, how do we restore that river to full health, as it were, over a period of time. If we move then maybe to thinking about towards the other end of the district area, so Camlan Lake, and we just included a photograph here of some of the construction work, but as I said in the introduction, this is probably an example, maybe a real good example of where the district council and some of the staff members of the district council and ourselves have been working very closely to bring around here what could be a good resolution. Again, what I think is another big possible amenity area for the council. So the construction commenced here back in May 16, and the idea is to complete a valve tower between June 16 and January 17. The main construction kind of, you know, civils work, the concrete works is almost 90% complete, and there's an access bridge that we will complete between November 16 and January 17. Repair of any of the scar pipes and so on are complete. The downstream works is 85% complete. Sheet piling has been in place. The embankment works, and again, any of you familiar there, you will know the site and the embankment. That's 95% complete. And then there'll be various works, miscellaneous works between February 17 and April 17. And the contractor currently has an up to 6-week risk allowance around the project to allow for unforeseen circumstances, things they hit when they're in the course of construction, maybe even bad weather and things like that as well. But the overview of the construction works there as well. There's a sheet pile dam core to reduce seepage and improve stability. Again, this is about securing, I suppose, from flooding and so on, up there, the risk of flooding. There's an upstream wave wall to prevent overtopping. The new valve tower and the bridge access replaced what really were weakened or collapsed structures in the past. And then we will reline any draw of pipe work through that dam as well. There's various diversions across the Commons watercourse at the minute, and there's a new downstream stilling basin and access bridge. So quite a big scheme, quite a complex scheme, and I think quite a scheme that I think is important to the area, because the lake itself has received great, terrific uses as a local amenity over the years, and I think this will add immeasurably to the council's ability to use that facility further. And to, you know, safeguard what's there already today. But I would say, and I spoke to the project engineer this a few weeks back, when he was going to meet the guys, the faces of the council down in Newry there a few weeks ago, and I think there's a strong cooperation between ourselves and the other authorities and you guys at the council and your staff at the council. This is an example, I think, that we're getting right with your help and your support on the piece. In terms of one of the other things we undertake, as you know, is the education activity around the district area. So during 15-16, 12 primary schools within the council area were visited by a water bus. So this is I don't know if any of you haven't seen, it's a large double-decker bus that gets itself around the province. And, you know, your area is no exception to that. So we had 800 local pupils in total from the primary schools. We get really strong positive feedback from this when we take it out on the road, and the kids get to come on board the bus, and they get to, I suppose, run a few basic experiments on how do you treat water, you know, They get to use the poo word as well when we're talking about wastewater, and that seems to give them a giggle. But it gets them thinking about the environment, about clean, safe drinking water, about how do you conserve water, about the importance of that in everyone's daily life. And I suppose it gets them thinking about the environment. And somewhere along the line, I know someday some of these kids are likely going to come and work for Northern Ireland Water as an engineer or a scientist or maybe even an accountant, who knows. We see this as a really strong piece of our kind of education activity. And again, the district council area here, we're no different. You can see some of the current public initiatives we have on. I'll just walk through these quickly. We're looking to do much, much more by social media because, again, as you know from your own work, that's a growing area where people are contacting services and connecting the services and messaging through social media and smartphones and so on. So we have an application for leak reporting. We're developing that and rolling that out. We want to make that something very positive again. The water bus we've talked about and the key message that the children see when they come out on that. There's a big campaign going on in the area around fats, oils and grease, and then the Bag It and Bin It campaign as well. And this Bag It and Bin It campaign has received national interest as well recently across the islands. But we want to work with the businesses and fast food outlets on that, and householders that, you know, if you think about what blocks up and what clogs a drain, whether it's our huge drains or whether it's somebody's drain at their home, pouring fat and oil and grease down the drain is likely at some point to lead to a blockage. So we're taking steps to work with people as the messaging around, don't pour it away down the sink, put it into a plastic container and it can be disposed of safely, again through your own service or the council. The Bag It and Bin It campaign, it is amazing what sometimes we see down the drains. But the little sign you can see on here, we refer to that as our dirty dozen, the things you shouldn't put down the drain. And again, one of the things, that thing that has received national prominence recently is the use of wipes or wet wipes that are quite often referred to as biodegradable wipes, the flushable wipes. But the research has shown they're not. They contribute hugely to the causes of blocking. And there is a national campaign, and we're hoping to get support from all of the council areas, including yourselves, as to how we message out to people to say this is the sort of thing you shouldn't be putting down the toilet or down the drain. Put it in the bin, dispose of it that way, because otherwise you will likely lead to a blockage. And then on the right hand side there, we're just now entering the phase where we're starting to remind the public and yourselves and others around the possibility of freezing conditions in the winter, and the winter freeze campaign to be aware of protecting your pipe and protecting your home or your school or your asset from the possibility of a freeze thaw should the weather get very bad across the winter. Again, you can see there the campaign detail there. So we launched that on the 14th of November. We're running it via print and broadcast and online media. So you may have seen the message out already. And the key message will be don't wait, insulate, take preventive action to protect your property. So again, some of you would have known from the 10-11 freeze thaw. Charlie, I know you were heavily involved in the new year with the housing executive and so on. And it's a case really of, you know, even for the council, has the council taken steps to protect its various properties and its various assets to make sure that there are safeguards in place should there be very, very severe weather? And there's been full support, I have to say, from our minister, Chris Hazard, for the infrastructure and the electric representative at all levels. We ran this up a storm and then we had great coverage from, I have to say, the MLAs were very supportive. They made their time available, they made statements, they came across and looked to promote it within the area. So we're grateful for that kind of support. Again, some of the preparations we're undertaking, you can see just at a glance really some of those, but I'll maybe pick up. We ran a major incident, mock incident test plan a few weeks ago, so that involved over 300 or 400 people in the organisation. It involved some of the council areas. It involved some of the other agencies in a mock type incident, really tests our system. So we get a chance to practice and test, and we learn whether things that we can continue to strengthen and improve. But it's a good intro to us for getting ready for winter preparations, and we continue to drive that kind of thing. In terms of contact details, as we head towards the close, most of you are aware of this already. There is a dedicated 24/7 electric representative hotline number. It's there for anybody who's not aware of it. But again, I know that some of you use that, and we get good feedback on having that available for yourselves. You can see the other contact points there. But we aim to be accessible. We want to be in touch with people like yourselves. So we have that detail, as I say. Do feel free to use that when you need it. The EOR line is something that, as I say, we've had strong feedback from yourselves and others that how available you are there. So I'm going to pause at that stage and open up for questions if there's any.
Okay, we'll go to the Rowellum. Any questions from Rowellum? Okay. Hi, Harvey.
I haven't really any questions, but just a bit of praise for yourselves to say that I've been very impressed with your response, and I've had a few emergency call-outs, and it was very good. You were out within the hour, and it turned out to be a bigger job, and then they got a bigger team in, so thank you very much. Nothing but praise for you.
Thank you. We'll feed that back to staff in the area as well. I think it's the staff on the ground that make a big difference. They get out and they respond well, so it's great to hear that feedback. Thank you.
Keep it up.
Kerry?
Okay. Thanks so much, Chair. More or less in relation to the sludge incident towards the end of last June, more or less, as I say, I'd like to praise Northern Ireland Water and their staff who literally moved down the town that day and cleaned up after an incident that went wrong. Also, in relation to Alder Grange and Dara Cross, it was a private development that was built several years ago, but residents were having issues with pipes and all. I think it's just was more or less with the nature of the ground it was built on. And there's been ongoing issues with people having problems with sewage leaks, etc., whatever. But NI Water have been aware of it because we've had several site meetings, and it's still an ongoing issue. So hopefully we can reach a resolution and we'll be happy for the residents.
Hopefully so. Thank you. Thank you for the feedback.
Jim, have again on move to?
In Downpatrick area, we've got three major issues concerning us. First of all is the downgrading of the new plant in our toll near our glass from level 3 to level 2, and the failure to go through with the project to pipe the sewage away from the coastal villages like Clock, Coney Island, Ballyhornan, and other villages. And the difficulty there is it's causing an inability to develop any significant housing or other types of development along that coast. The NIRA project along the Gold Coast went ahead, and all the towns and villages along the Gold Coast are now piped to the new level 3 plant on the Gold Coast. I think is it in Donaghadee?
Donaghadee, yeah, was a major wastewater treatment.
Well, the difficulty we have, of course, is our area is a prime tourism area, and we can't afford to have dirty water on our beaches. So that project originally was supposed to be level 3 and serving all our villages. So the first question is, when will it be upgraded along the lines that were originally proposed? The second issue we have is in the Downpatrick area, there's been a big investment in the sewage works to allow the doubling of the size of Downpatrick, and that project's been delivered over the last number of years, including the upgrading of sewage pipes around the town. But we still have an ongoing problem of leakage of sewage into the Coyle River, which is causing significant problems, particularly on the Stall Drain, and most especially the Plank Drain behind McDonald's and Asda, which is an ongoing problem which has been reported on many occasions. It was supposed to have been diverted to the new sewage works. The third issue we have is that the five sewage works on the Coyle River have collected together to turn the bottom of the Coyle estuary into a dead zone, according to the catchment area people. Now, the main reason for this, of course, is that the Coyle barrier is not fit for purpose, because it opens at the top rather than the bottom and doesn't allow the scouring of the estuary the way a normal normal barrier would. So we're looking to see when the Coyle barrier will be replaced and made fit for purpose, and if and when it is, can it be done in such a way that will allow navigation up the Coyle again to the Downpatrick area the way it originally was. So those are our three broad areas. Dermot could correct me if I've left anything out.
No, I just support Cadogan and what you said like that there, in the race that there, and I wait till the answers come from him, because I think he's outlined it pretty well. Just in relation to the level, the new plant at our toll near our glass, which has been downgraded, the problem is still there. That was to make the water, the sewage water going to the IEC, up to a standard. Unfortunately, at this present point in time, that does not happen. And the second thing is, in relation to that new station, there seems to be some problem with the pumping stations in relation to the Stankford Road and the Downpatrick Road, especially the Downpatrick Road opposite our last Downpatrick Road opposite the school, where flooding is continuously happening there. And I don't know whether it's the relation to the fishing, the processing factors or not, but I thought this was supposed to be all cleared up like out there, but unfortunately it isn't. And I'm led to believe too at the North Dock. In the North Dock, there's still raw sewage going into the sea at the North Dock. And I would just like to know if that's correct or not.
I'm sorry, when you say the North Dock, what do you mean?
Sorry, the North Dock.
The North Dock, thank you. So I'm just trying to think, is there any sort of answer? Can we pick up on some of those? So the first question there was that original downgrading, you know, what's happening there across the different areas, is that something we have on a planning, or is it something that...
It's Angela here. I suppose our glass wastewater treatment works, we've upgraded that to secondary treatment, and that was agreed with our environmental regulator, the NIA, that was the standard required. It doesn't discharge directly to a designated water, and hence it doesn't require the tertiary treatment. So
that's incorrect. The four or five villages that were supposed to feed into it all discharge at or near beaches. And they were supposed to be transported to Ardtoll in the original plan, which was costed, and processed in a level 3 plant in the same way it's been done on the Gold Coast. Now, there's a feeling along the Lekale Coast that there's one rule for the Gold Coast and there's another rule for us. But we're dependent on the tourism trade, whereas I'm not dependent on the tourism trade on the Gold Coast. Now, the original project was costed, it was promised to us, and then it was downgraded. So far from our toll being an upgrade to level 2, it's actually a downgrade from level 3 to level 2, and the refusal to pipe sewage away from villages like Ballyhornan, Killock, and other ones along our coast. And so it's been sold to us as an upgrade, but we know it's a downgrade because we saw the original plan and we consulted on the original plan.
I suppose... maybe what I could say is that in terms of bathing waters, the NIA only stipulate the tertiary treatment when it's a designated bathing water. Maybe there's a little subtle difference there in terms of a beach or a bathing area and whether it has a designation.
You're suggesting if a beach is designated, they may then again
I wouldn't say that that would be the solution, but it would certainly require further marine modelling to ascertain the bathing water quality, and then that would drive the delivery or the solution to make sure we meet the revised bathing water directive standards.
Could you confirm with me this evening here that from a new plant at Ardtoll, the discharge into the REC at this present point of time is what we were led to be believed that it was going to be, and that there is no discharge of raw sewage going into North Dock in our glass?
Well, I wouldn't be able to confirm the discharge to the dock. Certainly the discharge standards for the treatment works at our glass this year, it met the discharge standards that it was designed to meet at the treatment works, the effluent being discharged.
So maybe sometime some of your officers might examine the rocks beside where the discharge goes out there and see what you will collect there. And maybe you might come back to me then and tell me what the position is.
Thank you.
Anything else for John Patrick? Steve Craig? Yes, Mark?
Yeah, can you give us an update on a start date on the Dundrum Wastewater Treatment Centre or facility? I'm sure you're aware that the water quality in Dundrum Bay has been greatly affected by the discharges from the current site. And the business that operates there in the oyster beds regularly can't sell its product because of this. So if you can give me an update on that. And I suppose a question on with Phoenix Gas coming to our area. Is there an opportunity for them to use redundant water pipes to get them into the area to save some of the digging that they're having to do on our roads? And I believe there is a redundant pipe running from somewhere.
Maybe if you take a second to that first and then answer, maybe you can pick up on the Dunedin Bay. But I think in terms of Phoenix Gas, we would look at that. Phoenix Gas supposed to say, you know, is there a pipe there that we could use? I know that when they built the gas network in Belfast, they used the Old Town gas network to delay the plan for the natural gas to Belfast. So if it was possible and we didn't need the pipe and the pipe was a fully redundant pipe, and they want to lay along with it, they were to come and talk to provide the plan to be agreed. I wouldn't see this as having, we wouldn't say no for the sake of it, I can tell you that. But I don't think they've approached us, but we can pick up with them to see what the plans are in the area and see whether something there that is viable.
Yeah, okay.
And Leanne, you're going to pick up on the first question, which was around Dundrum Bay.
Okay, thank you. In terms of the water quality in Dundrum Bay, yes, it's... certainly there has been an apparent downtrend in water quality over the last few years. So Northern Ireland Water has been working to deliver a whole catchment study to look at the wider Dundrum catchments. There will be five rivers that also flow into the bay. So we've been completing that survey. In fact, we're meeting the operator of the Shell fishery on Thursday of this week to discuss the findings. There was an area of 220 kilometres squared in the whole Dundrum catchment, so an extensive survey has been undertaken. We've done sampling over 650 water samples, and locations have been monitored in a winter phase and a summer phase. And all of that information has been tested for microbiology to look at that's where the contamination of the waters can arise. And we also have used a new technology called microbial source tracking, where we have actually looked at the DNA in the microbiology to see, is it from a human source or is it from a ruminant source? Is there more than just the human element? So the findings of that study will be presented on Thursday to the operator and the DERA officials. But what I can say is that it has identified that there will be some upgrade works required within the Dundrum treatment works. The plan would be that contract will be going out to tender in January 2017, with a view to completing the upgrade by March 2018. So that's the timescales for deliver improvements at the treatment works, and then also maybe Lisa, I'm not sure if you have more details on the network.
Yeah, we have extensive network upgrades, two pumping stations, we'll be replacing two pumping stations. It means that we have to buy additional land, so that's the one probably on the critical path. It's how quickly we can acquire the new site. One proposed site on council land, so hopefully we get your support for one of the pumping stations. The other one is in private land, so we'll be entering negotiations with the landowners. So if they're agreeable, it could take 6 to 18 months before we're on the ground. It's a big main sewer, the sewer has to go down Main Street, so it's going to be quite difficult for them. Traffic management point of view, because it's a very busy road, but we work with Transport NI and see how you can get that. An 800 diameter pipe, so it's quite a large pipe. So the one thing that will hold us back is just acquiring the land for the new site, the new pumping station.
Thank you. Can I ask you just one other thing for a matter of clarity? There's some work going on in the Carnray Road at the moment to try to alleviate a flooding issue. Is that the road service more than?
Okay. Transport NI. Okay. And Andrew McMurray and the stream, Sabrina, to welcome you here in your first meeting. So everyone who's want to say hello and welcome to Andy. I think it's Andy you go by, is it?
Andrew.
Okay.
Precious. So. I just wondered if you could expand on how are you getting the Anne River back to good health, please.
Okay.
Well, again, you know, at a sort of a high level, we've taken steps to meet with and work with the team who closely manage the river and the local Anglian community as well, who would know the river intimately. So, Angie, I know that some of the work there you might want to pick up on.
Well, I suppose within the first week of the incident arising, there was quite a manual cleanup operation that lasted for a period of 6 days. So that was to remove all the signs of the visible polyelectrolyte from the river. The Northern Ireland Environment Agency really will now take the lead, and we will be guided by them and the inland fisheries in terms of what exactly they would recommend doing to allow the habitats to recover. So that they still have undertaken microinvertebrate surveys. We await the outcome of those to assess exactly what extent the damage was to the riverbed or whether the poly remains floating and didn't actually settle on the bed. So we're awaiting the outcome of that information from the officials. And then we'd be guided by that in terms of what we would do to improve the habitat.
Okay. Do you want to
turn off the light, Andy? Hello, Andy. Thanks very much for the presentation. Just in regards to Ansborough and the Castle Allen area, the incident that we were talking about in Ansborough was obviously a pipe failure, and that's probably unforeseen. But I believe that there's been a number of pollution incidents in Ansborough, mainly due to the plant going into override deep, or whatever you want to describe it, whenever the capacity is too high and it has to overflow into the river. Could you explain to us a little bit about what happens in that situation when during times like heavy rainfall and stuff like that, where the plant physically just can't cope with the amount of liquid coming into it and it has to, and how we monitor that? Is that measured and through NIEA, through say a mag meter or something like that, to get the sort of amount of literage that's been lost in that process? And just how many incidents have there been in Ansborough, say, over the last year, where the system has unfortunately had to be overridden and hasn't been processed before it's been dumped straight into the river? Also, about the capacity in Ansborough, I'm sure you're aware that there's 3 housing developments in Castlewell and Ansborough of up on 400 houses, and I'd just like to know about capacity. Is there sufficient capacity within the Ansborough treatment works to take that extra load, or will that be something that will need to be built in over time? There's 3 different applications at 3 different stages. One's at final stage, about to go for approval to the planning committee. One is just in the early stages of planning, and one's a public consultation. But they will all be inevitably dumping into Ansborough for treatment. 2 of them are in Castlewell and one's in Ansborough, so presumably the Castlewell ones will be pumped, as with all the other stuff, to Castlewell or to Ansborough. And lastly, on that line that is pumped sewage from Castlewell to Ansborough, we've had a number of complaints on the sewage lines that runs down Station Road before it crosses Currywood and into Ansborough of smell. And we've requested before sealed manhole covers, which is obviously the odour sealed manhole covers is how it's been done before. They haven't been changed out and the smell does continue. It seems to be in dry weather, which would be logical, obviously, because there's less liquid to make it flow. So is that something that we can do? And then pipes are very old. Would they be pipes that would be on a wastewater upgrade or a dirty water upgrade? Thanks.
Okay, well, I'll start with quite a lot in there, and forgive me if I don't cover it all this one go. In terms of wastewater treatment, a lot of our systems are combined systems, which means we take foul sewage and rainwater, so that during wet weather events, we will get high influence loads arriving at the inlet to the treatment works. Most of our treatment works will be standard industry design, that there would be storm tanks, which means that the works is designed to take a certain flow forward. Anything in excess of that will discharge through the storm tanks. It will get screened and settled and then spill to the environment. The understanding is that if you allow a period of time for the storm tanks to fill up, whilst it's raining, the river flows will also increase, so you'll be getting a dilute discharge from the storm tank going into a high flow in the watercourse. So the environmental dilution is high in those occasions, so that's a design, a water industry standard practice, that would be how your wastewater treatment works operate. In terms of Annesborough, there seems to be a very high level of infiltration arriving, so that even a day, 2 days after a wet weather event ceases, the flows are still coming in. So we are aware that that is an issue, and we have embarked on a drainage area study which will investigate at a camera and flow survey all points in the network and then design a solution to deal with that. So that work is underway, and it does take quite a significant period of time, as you can imagine, because it's quite a complicated network. But that work is underway in Annesborough, and that will deliver a solution at some point in the future. Yes, and I suppose the key to any good drainage area study is to use all the local knowledge that's available, so I wouldn't foresee that that's weakened.
So we can pick up with that and make sure that we get input then from both.
There's a little DNA of the
We carried out CCTV for Strever recently, just to see the network. Now, it does take months. It takes quite a bit of time because of all the cross connections, and sometimes you find it's the surface water system, the road drainage that's at fault. But we do know that there is an issue in Castlewell with, you know, significant infiltration. It's just trying to source where that's coming from. It can take quite a bit of time.
So would you be the lead contact then for Stephen for?
Well, I try the DEA.
Thank you.
And maybe the first time services, so you said new developments, we would separate storm and flood more so now. In the past, where we can actually connect into the storms, so that's what we're doing now. And the old, you know, and historically, you would have had the developments separated, and then they come out into the main sewer and then just combine. But all new developments have to have separate systems. So then Annesborough shouldn't be just as overloaded. The storm will be going to other sources, other local water sources.
Okay. Morn? Brian?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I have a number of questions with regard to Morn, maybe for some updates. The problem, the ongoing problem with the sewage treatment system at Killowan Village, it had been overcome several times over the past year. Is there any update on that? The other one is the old Killowan Road. During times of heavy rain and that road is flooding very badly. And I think the drain's falling out, it needs a new pipe, out to most of our rural roads. When I last consulted with Water Service about a year ago when it was bad weather, they didn't actually know where the pipes went to, where the water was released out into the bay at Bally Edmund or where it went. At that time I was told there was going to be a camera survey done on some of the pipes, but there has been no update on that since. Then coming back in Hilltown Road and Kiltee Road, coming down through the mountains, there's always a problem with water running off the mountains down onto the road. The shucks and ditches and drains along the road are not being maintained or cleaned. Therefore, they're being overcome by floodwaters And particularly at this time of year, when this happens, if it freezes, those roads up there, and they're all downhill, can be sheets of black ice. Next is Greenshaw's Repair Road. You already mentioned Grange Road. There has been an ongoing problem with flooding out there. But the water from the water when that road floods can't get away because the rivers and the drains are not being properly maintained. Well, I think then if we could get Northern Ireland Water, Rivers Agency, because there is sluice gates out across the land there somewhere, whoever controls them is also contributing to the flooding issue there. Also, with the subcontractors that Water Service are using when they're installing new pipelines, this has happened up around the Head Road as part of the sewage system from Ballymartin to all along. The subcontractors, when they're reinstating the roads, I would like them to be properly inspected, because particularly up around the old town and that, they left loose quarry run stone at the edge of the roads. The tarmac was then breaking up. These roads need to be put back in place in shape after water lines are laid in. Also, when the subcontractors are disposing of the spoil they dig out when going to install pipes, I would like to ensure that it's monitored where they're disposing of this at. If they're putting it down along our beaches and things like that, that it's properly levelled and topsoiled over, please. With regard to forward planning from Water Service and Road Service, that water main, sewage main that went from Ballymartin to Annalong and the one into Kilkeel, there was consultations on trying to get a footpath along there. I think when both organisations done work along that section of road, if they had worked together, they could have installed a footpath instead of wasting money bringing in topsoil and reseeding. They both could have put a wee bit of their budget in and just created a footpath. So I'd like to see a bit more focus on forward planning. Also, Rooney Road, Kilkeel, from the sewage treatment plant down there, there is bad odour, particularly in the summer months. And it seems that whatever chemicals that was being used there in the past to help keep the odour down are not being used any longer. So I'd like somebody to take a wee look at that again. The Annalong footbridge, the lid has been coming off the manhole in it where sewage flooding out onto that footway leads from the Cornmill Quay and quite a substantial housing estate over into the main street of Annalong Village. Also, the marine park where some of the sewage pipes are going down and running down along the side of the jetty there. There's a lot of people use that for swimming and recreation, and there is a very foul smell of sewage there, particularly during the summer months. Also up at the top of Annalong where the treatment plant is, and you mentioned the screening, all too often that screening is being overcome when we have exceptionally bad weather, not just there at Annalong but at a number of the different sites. And I would like to join with, I think it was Mark who raised the issue of the treatment plant at Dundrum. That's been overcome at times as well. That's been overcome at times as well, and that is affecting then the Murlough State Reserve and Newcastle Swimming Beach. And yeah, that'll do me for a minute or two.
That's a pretty long exhaustive list, thank you for that. There are a number of things that came up there which are roads related and I think rivers related. What we can do, and certainly what I'll do, I am with some of the people in the department tomorrow morning, so I'll raise some of the concerns that were raised here with us tonight in on those two areas and maybe ask for somebody to pick up directly with yourself. And then there was a number of things there that we were to think about, particularly starting at the top of this, the sewage issues at Cologne and the old Cologne Road. The old Cologne Road sounds like, it does sound like a road thing again, but you talked about some of our guys that thought that there might be a camera survey being taking place at some point. Are you aware of this?
No, not in Cologne Road. It probably is a surface water problem.
I think so. Again, we raised that one. And similar Hilltown Road, the point you raised about subcontractors along the piece, you know, can we forward plan and think together around improving, in this case you're suggesting around a footpath. Again, I'll certainly feed that in, Lisa, if you can feed it into the teams as well. But again, a footpath would be planning and so on, and you know, it wouldn't be a case of just throwing a footpath in at the end of the job. I think that would need, as you say, that forward planning on the piece. With regards to the quality of the road, resurfacing and the spoil issue, I mean, I know again that any contractors we use, they have to be accredited to do that. There was a program in place with Transport NI after any particular scheme where they will come out and they will sample survey the stretch of road that has been worked on and then reinstated. And if we were to fail the reinstatement testing, so they take core samples and examine those samples. If we were to fail those, we would be fined fairly heavily. And I think generally, our record in that area has been pretty strong. We drive it very hard with our contractors. We make sure that there are penalties for the contractors if that was to go wrong. But we have a good track record. But again, there's always room for improvement. So again, we keep feeding into the machine, as it were, that where we can continue to improve what we do there, we will do. Can we really come on to think about the Rooney Road to the Keel and the possible issues there with the possible fishery factors over it, particularly during the summer, I think you said. Is there anything we know about that, guys, or anything we can pick up there?
I think there were issues with the local industries, and I think there was another issue at one time where we were actually cleaning some of the treatment facilities. So we'd taken out some of the treatment facility in Kilkeel, and just unfortunate. But there is a drainage area plan for the whole of Kilkeel, which we're commencing, and that will address there are issues. There's lack of capacity within the system. There's discharges, intermittent discharges that have to be closed up. So there is a big catchment-wide study about to commence in Kilkeel.
Glenn?
Chair, thank you. Brian has covered some of the issues there that I was going to raise. That sewage treatment plant does need attention, so it does down in the Rooney Road. The smell is unbelievable. It seems to happen late summer into the autumn time whenever there's not enough rain to flush it out. That seems to be what's causing it. And any time you ring in, they're always sending somebody to put more chemicals into it. So on that there, you just have to address that there. Anyway, on the Ballymartin sewage project, it's going from the Valley Road till Kilkeel. Is that fully operational now, or when do you anticipate it to be fully operational?
I think the Ballymartin is pumped,
It is fully operational.
It's now arrived at Kilkeel.
Yeah. Have you told the road service then they can resurface the road?
Yeah,
well,
they'd be aware of that, yeah.
Yeah. Could you send them a reminder that we're waiting on Ballymartin to be towered, please? And all along there, Brian mentioned about down at the corn mill there, about that particular bridge there. We're waiting on a meeting there. Our DEA councillors are waiting on a meeting with NI Water, so are for, as long as that now, it must be 4 or 5 months, and you still have not met with us, CS7. That was sent to you, could have been even, long would that go, but, well, it would have been awfully 4 or 5 months ago. All right, 4 months anyway. But could that be arranged soon?
Just remind us again, just give us the detail of that again, so we will get that arranged.
It's down at the bridge at the corn mill, isn't it, Brian?
So the bridge at the corn mill?
Aye. Yeah. It's a serious problem. We haven't had any heavy storms lately, so whenever we do, it just explodes there and the place is covered in excrement. Is that right, Charlie?
We'll take that away and we will arrange
it. Does, please do that there, because we're waiting on that meeting for a long time now. So the other thing that I heard you mention about the Silent Valley and improvements you've made up there, What type of improvements have you done? Because it does need quite a bit of a time stamp there. Some of the paths at times are nearly overgrown, and there's a considerable amount of people use that, you know, for walking and whatever. It's a potentially a substantial tourist attraction for that part of the country, so it is. And are you intending to work along with the Newry Morning Down Council to make a barrier for some of that?
We have done a lot of work over the last number of years there. In fact, there was a group of us up there back in September,
uh-huh.
and we used the footpaths for some of we're hosting a team up there, and we used the footpaths there. So we were able to see that the first hand. There's been a number of new... there's been a number of sort of access areas put in for other able people, so people yeah. can actually access those now, people who are really less able. A lot of the footpaths have been under repair, you know, they've been repaired and improved and enhanced yeah. over the last number of years. Some of the footbridges and so on have been replaced and upgraded. The picnic type areas and areas where people can sit and maybe have a bite as they go on their walk, those have all been improved. So we did that in cooperation with Moran Heritage Trust, with RSPB at one point, then with the Department of Agriculture, and we're looking at what further improvements can be made, because I think you're right. You know, we take great pride in the facility there. It's a great local amenity, and we're confident that it could attract bigger yeah. visitor numbers. So we'll continue to improve. Thank you yeah. for the feedback. We'll continue to improve.
Well, I know there's a lot of people who use it, and just up to the upper dam. The road and places just need a wee bit of work done to it as well, to make it a wee bit safer.
I've recently walked up to the Ben yeah. Home, you mean, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and certainly on the walkway up there, it's, you know, again, I find it good actually, but again, we continue to look at what we can do in terms of improving and keeping on top of everything there. Because again, I think you're right, visitors enjoy it, it's a huge visitor attraction. I think it can continue to serve as a good amenity for local people and for visitors.
Yeah. Just one other comment I have there. There's times I've right past the sewage plant at the harbour in Newcastle, and there's still quite a smell comes out of it at times. What's causing that?
It's probably sewage, candidly. But,
but you know, I thought that whole new up for somebody was supposed to address a lot of them problems.
My sense is with again, some of the experts in the equipment, but I think when you're working with sewage, even in the best of modern sewage equipment and plants, you are, at time to time, going to get some form of odour. Shouldn't be extreme, it shouldn't be all the time, but you will get some form of water, I suspect.
I suppose there is at times, everybody lets a wee bit of gas out. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Brian and Glenn have already covered, so there's no point in that duplication. Just on the annual long one, but whenever you do get some severe rainfall, the storm drains must go into the sewage. There must be an interlink there somewhere, because the amount of sewage that's discharged there at the corn mill, it actually accumulates against the bridge, and it's really bad looking, you know, for when you're trying to attract tourists to the area, and there's a pub to the right hand side and restaurant. A lot of issues you've got cleared up. The septic tank emptying is now up to date very, very quick, so thank you on that. The corrosion in the copper pipe seems to have diminished. It's not the big issue it used to be. I don't know if these have changed the chemical composition of the additives or whatever, but that seems to have died down a bit. And water pressure everywhere in Moran now seems to be fairly good. So, thanks very much. At the Kilkee River, the NI Water has a sewer mains that runs down the middle of the river. Now, there's a community group there that cleans that river up every year or so. But sometimes your people must go into it and move the stones that we have used for years there. And maybe a small contribution from NI Water towards that community group to help them with their work would be a nice gesture, you know, at some stage. I can follow you on the details of that. But thanks very much for all you have done. I think we have come a long, long way in Moran from the really bad old days, so thanks very much indeed.
Maybe just picking up on that thing about the river there, one of the things we do is a corporate social responsibility program. So we've done a number of schemes across all of the areas and certainly your own area as well. So I know we've done work over the hospice in Newry, where we supported the hospice facility there. We've done work in some of the residential care homes in Newry as well, and other places besides. But maybe picking up on your suggestion around the river, we could host the CSRDA with that group between
right.
the river and lend them some support that way in a practical way.
Right. Oh, it's very well.
And I'll feed that into the team who look after the the corporate social responsibility program and see whether that's a scheme that we can put.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Willie.
Thanks, Gerard. Again, a lot of stuff's been touched upon. Roland, thanks very much for your presentation. And again, as Councillor Harry Harvey mentioned about the response from staff, is really good. Communication is really good. So if you want to relay that back, you always get a first-class service. In regards to the pollution issues, as have been dealt with, but maybe the Moores DEA group, we could maybe have a meeting in regards to the pollution, in regards to the bathing quality of our water. I suppose it touched on what Cadogan was talking about as well. And I'm conscious that, you know, there's a lot of issues, there's agricultural issues, septic tanks,
yes.
Could be causing a lot of these problems. The Newcastle treatment works is complete. It was always an agreement that we'd look at painting the outside of the treatment works to bring out the mosaic on the wall to help the appearance of it, if that could be followed up.
Yeah.
The issue about, maybe while we're on the DEA stuff, the issue about the Silent Valley, I think, is an interesting one, and the recreational appraisal, I think it's something maybe the DEA would like to get involved in as well for a discussion. We could even, do the meeting up at the Silent Valley and have that discussion, up there to involve the community as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's one issue, and it's a continual issue, is the Mourne estate flooding issue, and it's been going on for many, many years. Just in regards to an update on that, there was discussions about that we were going to do a holistic upgrade and an appraisal on what was needed in that area.
That's only going. They identified an awful lot of storage will be required at Murlock.
Yes.
Which is probably not sustainable. So what they're doing now, they're going to start a CCTV. Of the catchment, because they suspect that there's infiltration, and it could be land drains, it could be surface water connected into the system, because there's massive flows coming in there.
Right.
So there are
issues.
There's big issues in the catchment, and we're getting far too much storm, and to have to attenuate that at the worst, it would take a massive tank, and in the long run, not sustainable. So hopefully we'll identify some major connections that we can remove, and again we'll separate that.
Right.
It's just that area. There's nowhere really to go because
it's
low lying.
Sea level, yeah.
Yeah, sea level. Rivers. We can't. One solution we did look at was to discharge to the local river course. We can't. The levels just won't allow it. So it's a big problem.
Yeah.
Just the level of Morne.
Is there a study on the way later, or is that something about to start?
No, there has been an ongoing study, but what we've looked at isn't really sustainable.
Yeah.
We're going back up the catchment to see if we can take more water at source higher up in the catchment.
Right. I'm conscious of letting Charlie in here, so I'm going to skip a couple of these till we do meet. In regards to cutting back on energy costs and introducing renewables. Is it something the NI Water are looking at, particularly hydro renewables? You have a pipeline from the Silent Valley to Belfast, and harnessing that energy through that pipeline. Is it something that you're looking at?
We have looked at it.
There is one at the Silent Valley, but there's a long
hydro scheme in the Silent Valley. We are looking at where possibilities play, particularly in larger mains, as you say. A system where where you're regulating the pressure and the speed of the water in a pipe, could use that to generate energy.
Yeah.
The big thing there is where do you take that energy off to, and where do you connect it to? So we have been thinking about that in some of the pipeline work we've been doing. We've also looked at in a number of areas we've put in solar panels. So again, the most recent one I can think of is down at Greenbank in Uri. There we have put panels up on the roof of the works there to capture sunlight. And that's generating energy for us, and it's allowing us to run that at less cost. And we have planning in for a number of schemes across the province someone in your area around the same kind of things. The big thing is, particularly something like the in-pipe regulating system, is making sure that you connect that somewhere viably, and you can take the energy off and use it somewhere usefully, because the cost of getting it taken and transported off the network somewhere, the grid, is what would be the prohibitor on that. So the technology exists to put an in-pipe solution. It's how you harness the energy from it.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay.
Here you go, Kevin.
Michael Carr.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks, Ona, for the presentation. I have to say it's quite positive, and I agree with a lot of other complimentary comments from councillors earlier.
Thank you.
Just very briefly, two things sort of jumped off the page. The Carlingford Lock Sustainable Water Quality Project, what exactly form does this take?
I don't think at this stage we know
it could be a very, positive thing. It's an application that we made jointly with the Irish authorities and Irish Water, and because of the joint waterway there, you would work with both sides of the lock to look at what invest, you know, studying the lock, understanding the impact of discharging the lock and the basin and so on, and then understanding what steps could be taken, what facilities or pipes could be built to improve the quality that are going into the lock and making sure that we're protecting that. It's quite a lot. It'd be quite a big scheme if it was fully funded by Europe, and it would make a big difference to that particular area. So something we are very keen. Something that the team who put the application together have worked very hard on, and we're waiting to go through the final stages of that application process to get that hardened for us to make sure we understand what it is we might receive. And if we're successful in securing that, we'll be able to, in conjunction with the European authorities, we'll be able to announce the nature of the scheme and the detail around it.
There's also local groups that may want to get involved in that. There's Love Your Lock and even another one on the southern side, so maybe an opportunity to...
I think again, if we were to announce those kinds of schemes, we know that those kinds of groups would step forward, and we'd want to be consulting with them to let them know, firstly, what kind of work we're undertaking, and maybe get some input from them as to the kind of things they understand is happening. That local knowledge is always valuable.
Okay, thanks. The other one was the drum test header tank, and what exactly is that project? Is it raised or is it?
Well, we're hoping to pursue. We're still at feasibility stage. They have put in screens. It's still spilling, and I think it's really the flows that drum test is getting. It's much greater than. The current tank has been designed, so we probably need land take, so it's probably a bigger scheme than we anticipated at the start. The problem is it pumps into the pressurized system, which then goes on to a 1 point wastewater treatment works. And
is it a new tank?
It's still a feasibility stage, but yeah, we've done some remedial work, we've completed some remedial work, but it looks like it would be a bigger tank required.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you, Chair. Roland, thanks for your presentation. I just want to compliment you, as well as some of our councillors have already done this a few times you've been here now, and I find your presentations very informative, concise, and I suppose most importantly, very easy to follow. So thanks very much on that.
Thank you. The
flood incident lane hasn't really been mentioned here tonight, but I just want to praise it as well. I've had the fortunate or unfortunate reasons to use it a number of times since last winter, and I found it a very efficient service. And the end user, which is more often than not the unfortunate householder, I think they're very impressed by the speed at which things happen. So well done on that.
Thank you.
A couple of specifics, Roland. On the B8, between Muir Bridge and Newry, just on the Newry side of Magan's Concrete there. There's a collapsed road culvert there that isn't readily apparent because obviously the road is not damaged, but the adjacent landowner is having issues there with it's now blocked the water course. Now, a camera inspection confirmed that a contractor had damaged the culvert while putting in a water main. And I know by the shaking heads you're aware of this, but they seem to have basically told the landowner to whistle Dixie. Nobody wants to take any responsibility for this. So
bring up the speed, maybe. You're right, there's a water main in there, which is good news. That's cured one problem that went in a while back, a few years ago. But you're right, it interfered with that culvert. And prompted by yourself, and I know on behalf of the local landowner, so this was causing flooding, I think, onto his field. So we have recently been back in touch with the contractors. We've made arrangements with one of our current contractors to go in and fix the problem. And then we will deal with sorting out the terms of the cost of it ourselves. We'll pick up and look after the cost of doing that. And if we're owed money from the previous contract, we'll go after that. But we have a solution in place to address the issue.
Okay.
To get on with, irrespective of who put it in when and if that contractor is still in our books or not, we want to get in and get the problem solved. So we have contracted with someone and confirmed with one of our current contractors that they will begin the scheme at some point over the next weeks or months, whatever, to get in after and get that culvert cleaned up and tidied and working again to alleviate the flooding issue on the road there for the landowner.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that because obviously the landowner has not been informed of that.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of good news.
We were in touch, I think, with possibly he had somebody represent him alongside, and we confirmed back, the chief executive confirmed back, I think, to somebody who'd written on his behalf to confirm
the
course of action.
All right, excellent. Right. The other one was on the Cabroni Road in Westover, and I know this may be more of a Rivers Agency issue, but it's possibly a Cross Agency issue. You're sloping the one side there with the mountain and the hills, Roman.
Yeah.
And there's quite a bit of surface water coming off now twice and three times a year. And the sheer volume of water, Roman, is not getting away through the gullies or the stone shores. And as a result, there's a number of properties there that are being repeatedly damaged. So I suppose the question is, can that water, even though it is groundwater coming off the mountains, is there any way that can be caught in the storm pipe system before it actually filters down through them shores and is damaging the properties? Just in relation to that, I have requested through our DEA manager that the yourselves and Rivers Agency sort of come to a meeting on that if possible. But I thought I'd ask the question when you're here.
Well,
thank you.
We have no issue, I think, going along to a meeting and understanding the issue and what can be done about it if there is something. But it does sound more like a storm coming off the hills. You're absolutely right. So really, what with my limited knowledge of that, you'd really be looking at, okay, well, what can be done if that starts to down the bottom the hills and starts to head towards Trevor and Cabroni Road, what can Rivers and others do to give further access to let that out to sea more readily? I think that's probably where that's, you know, my sense of what you're describing is it's more an issue that Rivers will need to address and how do they best make that happen. I think if you think back to the Mourne View thing where we were taking water, possible water coming up here and hitting our drainage area to Mourne View in Newcastle, we would not want to make the same problem happen for Cabroni Road, for Australia, for Jews Garden, and so on, our own network. But it sounds like a Rivers thing, and how do we, is there anything we can do to support Rivers if there's something they have to do alongside that? But I don't think there's any issue coming along to a meeting and having some other meeting to work with your DEA. You definitely want Rivers there, I think, and possibly Roads, but you definitely want Rivers there.
It's just a fact of the issue there. It comes as it's coming down the mountain, it takes all the debris with it. And after an incident, you really need Rivers to come in and clean, clean the stream out, as we found with Rostrever, the work we've done around Rostrever. So they need to really keep the water course clean.
Maintaining that water course, you know, keeping that water course clear, particularly after some storm weather, whatever, you know what I mean? So it's a matter of that.
Significant enough.
Yeah,
it's
Thank you. Thanks for your presentation as well. Just actually listening to some of the questions that are on the presentation and in your top investments projects about to start, I just took from the last couple of answers there that are the projects, I mean, are they about to, I took about to start, in other words, about to, you know, be kicked in, or they're about to kick in terms of the build or the works about to start. It seems that what you really meant was that your intention is to commence planning on them. Just for clarification, that.
Quite often, some of the, when we say projects about to start, sometimes it's the initiation of a feasibility study, which takes a considerable amount of time and actually money. There's quite a lot of money spent on that sort of thing. So we would be seeing with some of those things that the feasibility phase will start. This is where you start doing, you know, ground modelling and so forth, and start having people out on site and start gathering information and conditionality about the ground we're working on, about our own assets, maybe others. So even that phase, that initial stage, is quite a big stage before you get into what's the buildability of whatever we're going to do after that.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Yes, got to move on just, well, maybe come back to one part of that. Just in our own area, a couple of things. Just, I think I mentioned last year's meeting with you. It wasn't like a year, but there was a pumping station at Bridge Road Bourne, I think I mentioned your own, but I never heard a word since about it, where that the feeling was from some of the engineers from McAllister's that you had worked on your behalf, that pumping station wasn't capable of doing the job it was intended to do, with the result that some of the sewage was building back into the some of the houses in Carrick Close in Bourne, predominantly 11 on your record to number 6. So I was just wondering, just wanting to see that it hasn't been flagged up here, nor did I hear anything. The other thing was that, unfortunately, I had occasion to call you about a billing problem with someone who has been sent to a farm, you know, with no residence. There's just an address, and we got it sorted out and was promised that that wouldn't happen again, that the bills were amalgamated to the gentleman's home address. But it's back to square one this year again, reverted back again. I think the water was turned off in the farm because we never got the bill.
So I pick up details to get the individual's details.
Okay. Now, the other thing then is just on back to your project about to start. You see the one new point WWPS,
yes.
Screen upgrade. Would that involve work on the Ballon Creek Way down the Greenbank Industrial Estate, which keeps flooding? And I get contact from PWS from the constant flooding there in the kind of a low pool.
I think the piece we're doing at New Point will be, if you go back up further towards Murray,
you're going behind the
filling station near the abattoir. There's the silver building there. That's New
that's
Point.
Your home, but is it?
Ah, right. The issue further down beside PWS along the Green Bank is a combination of tidal coming in from, you know, with the river comes up to Newry.
Yeah.
And particularly last year there was some issues there, and that's a very low lying piece.
Yep.
So there is a road kind of drainage issue there, particularly during high tide, where you have, and over the last year where there was some severe weather, some very high tides, mm-hmm. and some high rain content, you did see that area of flooding. You're absolutely right, but it's probably not an issue that we would have to address. What we'd have to make sure is during those conditions, can we keep our wastewater treatment centre working properly?
That's what one was a combination then.
I think it's more to do that one is more to do with the tidal issue, possibly it's a very high tide, and particularly where water levels are high at that stage of the tide, and there might be heavier rain.
Yeah.
And I know there was some work done after the last one, there was road works on taking on the dual carriageway there by Transport NI.
It will be the sewers not as well. Presumably, there's a system there as well. I think the whole lot. I'm only guessing that from what I'm talking to the people involved. So maybe it's just
surface water.
Yeah.
Pardon?
It's probably more surface water. Okay.
Well, it's just information that if there's anything there that you're involved in, you know, potentially, or free if you get it. have a go at sorting it anyway, along with rivers and transport and aid. That's all, mate. Well, thank you.
Okay. Yuri?
Thought I'd never get in.
I know, but there was the...
Just had to say, I've been contacted by a load of people, and I don't know many people in Bourne with water flooding and sewage. I'm only winding them up.
No, because well, I just wondered, did you know where Bourne was? But go on.
Thanks for your presentation. Very professional as ever, you and your team. A lot of positives in it, I have to say. And it's great to see that there continues to be investment in Uri where required. And I'm looking at your efficiency. I'm being parochial, slightly parochial, I hope you don't mind. I know my colleagues won't mind. Your efficiency graphs and where they have reduced down to between 5 and 6% since 2014. I think we can compliment Conor Murphy on that. I think, you know, for Conor's theories at the time. Also, one concern, Ronan, I hope you don't mind. I had occasion to ring about the Greenbank Treatment Centre. There was some sort of pollution incident, I'm told, and that they were taking samples just to see whether it was a massive pollutant injected into the system. But there was a serious malodor right across the city for 2 or 3 days. And when I did report it, somebody actually came directly to me, I reported it. And the person I reported to didn't have any knowledge of it. Now, I know that system can work on its own, and it does. Maybe you don't have an engineer there or anyone there at any given time to try and monitor. Now, what seems to be the problem? I kept getting reports back now, full marks to your team. I mean, their information updates are fantastic, I have to say. No issue with that. The first report from Christian Beatty, I think it was. Is there Christian Beatty?
Yep.
Nice fella. He said it was him that mentioned the contaminant, but when I got the final report to actually close the incident, they said that blowers that can do something to the smells, disperse the smells, whatever, they had been broken down or weren't functioning properly, and work had been done to try and correct that. Now, and I know you said yourself, over the last number of years, there's a massive investment in that to get that right, because there always was a serious smell in that particular, at that particular treatment works, and the million or so pound that was invested in it did the job. But you can't, no, legislate for contaminants wrecking the system or whatever the case may be. If it's at all possible, if there is an incident, that we're given sort of a heads up on it,
yes,
and we can brief the people through social media or a couple of phone calls and say, listen, we're aware of it. NI Water have made us aware of it,
yes,
and they're working, you know, diligently to try and cure the problem. But that had gone on for 3 or 4 days, and seemed to be no one was doing anything about it. Ronan, so.
Okay. No, look, we'll take it away. We'll take the feedback. I know there has been quite a lot of contact, particularly with the neighbouring football club there as well. We did some work with the teams down there. And again, we're trying to work with friends and neighbours down there to make sure that we're responsible. Neighbours and transport contractors, what we're doing. You're right, it could be that some of the things that's coming into the work, I don't know whether further up the network we're taking in effluent, you know, whether that effluent is consented effluent and so on. You're right, we can't control what comes into the network to that extent. We can monitor and so on that, but where we have interest going forward, yeah, it would be useful to have people like yourself on board where we can contact you and we can let people know what's happening. So we pick up on that and develop that with you. Thank you.
Dennis Pinieri.
Hi. I'm the fourth
person. Okay, I suppose you want to tell all your directions straight to Charlie then.
We keep a good broad group, but we also keep Charlie well
in your mind.
Thank you.
Steve Gullion. Oh, Terry.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ronan, for your presentation. Just over the last number of years, there have been very bad publicity around Loch Ross, our supply of drinking water, but also the toxins and waste being dumped into it. And you know, and I know it's not correct that the water was tested on all occasions, and it never proved to be anything of it. But it's just that I thought Water Service put it on more to reassure people that wasn't the case, you know, because some of the major papers did carry these stories, you know, and put out some very nasty stories, which is very bad publicity for the area. But I would like to see that NIWATA would do more to, you know, to assure people that that is not the case, and that the water is our water from Loch Ross is always a very high standard, and we have the new treatment work, and the water is never been better. But I would like if you would do something to reassure everyone that is not the case, and that the water is. I know at one stage you did do some bit of a reply to it, but I thought there should have been more to reassure people, because one, if people have this drinking water and they like to know that it's right.
Maybe we can pick up on that and look at doing something there. I think you're right. It's important to get that message out across. And there's a balance about how you do that. And
yeah.
You don't raise any that people start to get concerned about. But you're right. There was a substantial £10 million investment there in Cairnhill back 10 years ago, roughly.
Yeah.
It's a first-class plant that's been working brilliantly since it went in. There's a few local operators have been operating it with us, you know, some of the guys down the ground there. And it's worked very well since the commissioning back about 10, 11 years ago. There is a phase two, I think, coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
So at least with something here. We're about to invest further around that whole area to make sure the water main network is adequate to sustain all the different levels of service that we have up there.
Yeah.
So again, I don't think that's good news, although it does mean we'll be in the area with guys and crews out on the roads working and contractors working.
Mm.
There might be a little bit of traffic disruption, but it means we can use that as an opportunity to reinforce the water quality message that we're investing in the area to make sure that water quality standards remain high.
Yes, and I don't think there'll be an issue with that. I know that a number of the roads have been done, and I know particularly the Gladstone Road, twice a year there would be busts on that road, you know, and they create an awful mess when they come out to do that in the wintertime, and they have replaced that whole lane. And they had been able to up the pressure on the likes of us that's on the top of the hill, and that has a better water pressure and all that now, and that is fabulous. The other issue is Cullerville. The junction of the road in Cullerville, there's been an issue there with sewerage for a number of years now, in wet weather, where there's a blockage, we believe, on the lane where it goes down to the treatment plant in Cullerville, and in real wet weather, when the storm water net fills up, sewer seems to come back out on the road. Now it's right up beside the shop on the pub there in Cullerville. I have a meeting next week on it with I think it's John Kelly, but I did have a meeting on it before, and ever since that, every time there's an issue, McAllister's was sent out with just to blast the lane out and do that, but it's not curing the problem. It's a digging problem. It's a bigger problem, and I think we keep putting it off and kicking it down the road. So I'm hoping maybe that when John Kelly comes out, that they would put the camera down it again and find out what the problem is indeed, because it's the shop there on a number of occasions had to close till the place was washed down, and it caused issues for the. But hopefully out of this meeting next week, and maybe if you could maybe talk to John before that we would see that if there's a big problem there that we would deal with.
Well, that's a good prompt, and we pick up with John in advance of that meeting to make sure that he, you know, that we're doing everything we can out there.
I appreciate that.
Can you say that is what we're taking out this year?
Okay.
No,
it's just there's a blockage there, and they have been just blasting it. McAllister has just been blasting it to alleviate it to try and get it on down the road. But we believe there's a blockage in the lane that needs to be dealt with. So I'd appreciate that if someone would talk to John on that before that meeting. Thank you.
Yeah, just to come in on the point that Terry made there about Loch Ross, I remember 2 years ago there was a minor oil spillage into the lock. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, coming from one of the streams that I do believe was blocked. But with the facility that's up in Cairnhill now, the state of the art facility, to say how many was plugged into, I think if you're talking about putting a statement out to try and instill public confidence, because it was like a Chinese whisper at the time, you know, what people thought that, you know, the water was contaminated. But the fact is, correct me if I'm wrong, but with the facility that's up in the hill now, is it true that if there is oil detected in the water going into it, it shuts down?
Check it to you. confirm that.
Yes, just I think that is the case on Karen Hill. So if that was, if you are putting out a statement on it, you know, the fact that putting information like that in would be good for public confidence, because I do believe that the system does shut down when it detects certain levels of oil.
Okay. Thank you. We'll confirm back then.
Anyone else? Okay. Please go up slightly there.
Well, look, we get good feedback at these things. We've made lots of notes and we've picked up the different question points. And I suppose there's an opportunity for us to talk to you guys about what we're doing and to get feedback on some of that. And as you can see from the evening, I mean, we have a huge amount of expertise around the team here. We know what they're doing and they can pick up the details. Well, we can't, we'll come back to you on your question there, Peter. But there's a number of, I think, good sort of almost example or case studies between ourselves and the council. I think the Camel Lake Tarry and the work that's being done there. And I know that the feedback we've had from people at the ground there is that both the council and ourselves has worked very positively and very cooperatively together to get what should be a successful scheme in place, which has helped that area. Similar in the Silent Valley, we can build up with some of the feedback we've had in the Silent Valley. So we take the feedback away tonight, and we make sure that we're picking up on it. Thank you for your time. We appreciate the chance to come and talk to you. Thank you.
And thank you to everyone from Northern Ireland Water for taking the time. The meeting is now over. Thank you. Stay home.
Thank you all.
Thank you.